This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:04, time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. And by the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Here are the guys from the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. It's Tim Meisch, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you so much. And we are here at Cranny Mac in, I thought it was January. All of a sudden, the spring day broke out. Don Burton, good enough to join us here on the outset. And I guess put the overalls away.
Yes.
Don't need them.
Yesterday, we hunted in T-shirts and light vests. Absolutely phenomenal. 65 degrees. We were worried about the birds flying, but they're doing just fine. Everything's pretty dry, so now we had a great day. We hunted for the first time yesterday on Friday, so it was great. We had a good day.
Makes the dogs work a little harder. I said makes the dogs work a little harder when it's dry.
Yeah, we had to swap them out a little bit sooner than normal yesterday. But Dennis has got so many dogs out here. Plus, some of the guides bring their own dogs as well. So we were okay yesterday.
And this thing has kind of just evolved from year to year to year.
Yeah, that's a mild understatement. We started out 9 years ago. Don Cranfill had this idea, and we put it together in about 10 days, the first go-round. We had 22 hunters. The last 2 years we've had 150, and we're going to be real close to that again this year. So yeah, it really has evolved. We moved it back to Friday, hunting 3 days instead of two, so that we could spread things out a little bit and wouldn't put so much pressure on Saturday. Well, all it's turned out to do is we just have more hunters now. So, and that's a good thing. And we're extremely pleased. But no, everything's went real well, and we've had just a beautiful weekend. I think today and tomorrow are supposed to be nice too. Last year, if you remember, it was wind chill 10 below. Yeah. I had one cancellation out of 152 guys last year. And gals, we did have a couple of female hunters last year, but we had an absolute wonderful time, and it looks like it's going to be a good one this year too.
Of course, all this brought together out of a tragedy, and you've tried to make the best of the situation, and in honor of your son, Don, provide scholarships for students. So it's quite an interesting, I guess, development and how things came together.
Well, it has, and it has, you know, you can't make something good out of the original incident right. That took place, and nobody's ever tried to do that. But we, Sally and I have always had the attitude that, you know, we try to make the best of with what we've got. And in this situation, we have two beautiful daughters, one of which is here today, in fact, working the hunt. The scholarships, the only thing we ask when we give the scholarships out at senior night in May, at the high school awards night, is that they keep in touch. And the kids that we've given, the large majority of the kids that we've given scholarships to, do keep in touch. Several of them are working the hunt today, in fact. Several hunt every year, and it's worked out well. I interestingly enough, I was thinking a little bit about this last night. My brother's down from Muncie, Indiana, and we're going to, I believe, cross the 50,000 mark this year.
Wow.
In scholarships. So, in fact, we'll go well beyond it this year because we're right there now after 8 years. So this is the ninth. And, so it's worked out pretty good.
And, Don, I think we can we should elaborate on the importance of scholarships by organizations such as yours, because we all know we're in a time in our history that education is very expensive. And any $500,000, $1,500, whatever you can generate to help some young man or young lady get through school is a great thing. So we just can't talk enough about the importance of these scholarships.
Well, and we're seeing that on the rise in all the school districts in the area. There's more scholarships. There's more money being given. There's more money being donated because of what you just said. I mean, you have to take a look at the financial picture in Illinois right now. Many of the states around Illinois have put caps on what institutions of higher learning can assess each year in increased tuition. Illinois is not one of those states, unfortunately, and but we're seeing 10, 12, 15% increases at the state universities, junior college costs are up. And it really is tough today for a young kid and people and parents to foot these bills. So we're even next year will be the 10th anniversary of my son's death and of this hunt. So we're going to do something special next year. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag at this point, but the people of Hillsboro were extremely good to Sally and I for an 11-year period, and I loved working here. We got good people. It's a good county. The communities around, it's just everything is good, and we're gonna do something special next year, and I'm going to leave it at that. I don't want to say any more, otherwise my wife's going to
scalp you.
Yeah, and there ain't much there left to scalp anymore. Well, thank you, Jerry, I wasn't going to say anything
beyond that.
I thought for a minute Tobinot was in this interview. But anyway, it's we're going to do something special. And again, when you take a look at how far we've came, and I got to go back, and Dennis McCamick is just wonderful to work with. He bends over backwards. He donates a lot himself. But I got to mention Don Cranfield for just a second, too, because he came up with this harebrained idea that this was going to work, and we all were looking at him like he was nuts. And it's turned out to be a good thing. You know, when you lose a child at that age, there's something that you lose that you can't get back. And that's a normal thing in the grieving process because you just can't. But I will tell you, this helps me every year, Sally, to the girls, my daughters, everybody, family, my brother, sister. This helps us get just a little bit back that we lost, and it's just a great weekend.
Things like this take so much planning. Is this basically a year-round planning process?
The way it's worked out, yes. It wasn't planned that way, but I start really hitting it hard about November 1, getting everything together. It takes about 50 people to pull this off. And they're all volunteers. Nobody try, and then all the receipts for all the food that we do, everything just magically disappear every year. I don't ever see any of them. And I ask for them repeatedly because Sally and I want to reimburse for groceries and various things like that because we'll pay for this. I never have any bills. So I wish it was like that at home.
Yeah, no kidding. Right?
But that's not the way it works, obviously. But no, pie bakers, cake. Sally's not here this year. She's with our granddaughter. We had our first grandchild back on August 20th, and we're extremely excited. That's helped a lot too. And given the weekend that we are having, I said, well, you got a choice. You can stay with our beautiful new granddaughter, or you can come home and be with your husband. Well,
we knew how that turned out.
Tough decision.
I didn't even need an answer. Actually, I knew where that was going. But she'll be back next year. We were going to help this year, Amanda, going back to work and getting resituated, and it's lovely to have a new child in the family like that. So we just love Laura immensely. But it's going good.
For anybody who's listening who may want to come out next year and get involved in the hunt, just talk a little bit about the hunting experience here.
Well, it's if you've never worked behind good dogs and you're an upland bird hunter, you're really missing something. Don and now Dennis out here have some of the best dogs that I've ever worked behind. I've had my own hunting dog, the training that goes into that process and the amount of time and effort, especially in that pup's first year, is immense. I've wild bird hunted for years and with no dog. And you'd walk all day, and you might see one or two birds. You might even get into a covey of quail, or you might not. It was the experience, and I've been told that by many guys, it's just the experience of getting outside. And I understand that. But if I've got a shotgun in my hand and I'm legal, I want to shoot some birds too. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And walking all day, and, you know, I'm closing in on 60 here pretty quick. I wanted some action.
Yeah.
So when you come out here, you know,
just a kid.
Yeah, that's right. From your perspective, you're right.
When you come out here in two hours on one of these hunts, you'll get to shoot your shotgun somewhere between 20 and 40 times at behind good birds, good birds and good dogs and a guide that knows what he's doing. It's just a pleasure to come out here. And what's happened to me is I don't wild bird hunt no more because I don't want to walk all day and quail and the pheasant in Illinois are on the downswing anyway. We don't have a good crop because of the cold winters, the coyotes, et cetera, et cetera. So you come out here in 2 hours and for not much money, you can just have a blast. And then by noon, I'm home, showered, and ready to do something else. Denny runs a great outfit out here. Don did too prior to him, and it's a lot of fun. The experience is something that you can't get unless you're behind a well-trained dog and guide, and I can't say enough about him.
I always said that if I had a bird dog, I would want two things. I would want Don Cranfield to train him, and then I also wouldn't want to watch him.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I miss Don. He was a character. He had all kinds of stories. He was a good, honest man who spoke the truth. You didn't necessarily always agree with him, because he was an old schooler. I mean, once he made his mind up, as you well know, you weren't changing it. Period.
Another thing about Don Cranfield, Don, is the fact that when you take a look at this particular activity, this sport, how much influence he's had on it.
Oh yeah.
Not only here but around the world.
Well, yeah. Exactly. He trained the old way with his dogs, and that's gone now. There's probably less than a dozen left in the country that trained dogs like Don Cranfield did. When you were out here as much as I was for about the 6 or 7 years that I was with him out here, you pick up the phone out here. It might be from Alabama. It might be from Massachusetts. It might be from Pennsylvania. I mean, these guys are asking him questions. They're calling him to say, okay, what do I do now? And he'd sit down in a lounge chair he had out here, and he'd sit and talk to those guys for hours and tell them exactly what they're doing wrong. And he didn't have any problem telling them what they were doing wrong. If you all remember Don, mm-hmm. I mean, he just would tie right into it, and it was great. So we miss him.
We are here at Cranny Mac at the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt talking to Don Burton. And Don, we have a question in from the audience here.
Mm-hmm. Now that's somewhat scary today.
Well, brace yourself and prepare here. Apparently, you have some training, we shall call it, as a dentist and also as a barber. This is what I've been handed.
Yeah, that is true. that is true. My brother's standing behind me. I don't know if my sister's here yet or not. Make a long story short, and that's difficult for me to do anyway, as you
expound,
all well know,
please.
At the table.
That's
here.
Why we've expanded the show tonight.
I was the oldest in the family, and I had a brother and sister, obviously, that were younger than me, and my sister needed a haircut one morning years ago, and I got up and I helped her. I felt like I was doing a good thing.
That's only a brother can do, right?
And I put the bowl over her head and I cut her hair, and it just did not work well. Mom was not happy with me. The dentist thing was a whole nother story, and it's been greatly exaggerated over the years, but that's okay. Long story short, again, she had a bad tooth. Mom and Dad were gone, so I said, "Well, I'll take care of that for you." So I went out into Dad's fish and tackle box, and I got the needle nose pliers, and I got her down on the floor and straddled her, and I pulled the tooth. Well, the problem was, when it was all said and done, I pulled the wrong tooth.
Oh no!
And so I got kind of whipped a little bit on that one too. When Dad got home and found out what I'd done, of course I hadn't sanitized the pliers, and you know, I had fish scales on them still. And for some reason or another, Debbie has always kind of held those two situations against me. I don't understand that. Huh. I was trying to help, but that's neither here that or.
Neither here nor there, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I heard a guy describe Don one day, and he said, you know, you can talk to Don, And you can ask him what time it is, and he'll take 30 minutes to tell you how to build that watch, but he'll never tell you what time it is.
Now we're getting nasty.
Yeah, that was harsh right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was bad.
Tom, we know you're very busy today. We thank you for a few minutes of your time, and you guys put on an outstanding event here, and we thank you very much for your hospitality to us.
And
thank you so much.
We will be back next year.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. You do great.
Don Burton here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We need to take a break. When we come back, we've got the Topper Head Coach Joe Vanzo standing by. That comes up next, following these messages.
Online Bill Pay is here. Now you can pay your bills online safely, efficiently, from one location, securitynb.com. Hi, this is Dan Fleming, president of Security National Bank. securitynb.com provides you with the convenience of receiving, viewing, and managing your bills all from one location, securitynb.com. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securitynb.com. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:19, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies and cooler for today. Expect highs of around 48 degrees. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. We'll have a low of around 30. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Expect a high Sunday in the mid-40s. Right now at 9:20, we have a temperature reading of 40 degrees. The weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:20, let's head back out to the Don Cranville Hunting Reserve. Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Well, last night at Litchfield, the Route 16 rivalry once again lived up to its billing. Purple Panthers defeated Hillsboro 64-62, but Toppers had a shot at the end to win it, but this game was outstanding back and forth. Joe Vanzo joining us now here on Sports Saturday. And, Joe, that was just a great high school basketball game. I don't think there was ever a lead bigger than 6 or 8 points the whole way through.
Yep, it was a great game between two pretty good basketball teams, and it was a great atmosphere for our kids to play in.
Just kind of talk a little bit about your season thus far. I don't care what your guys' record is. I've seen you guys twice now. Saw you against Vandalion last night. You guys are a good basketball team.
We're still improving. Early in the season, we got a big win on our opening night at Shelbyville, and it was a good environment and a close game, and it was good for us to win. And then obviously we had the nice win against Vandalia right before Christmas. And then we went over to St. Anthony, which is what we've done the last few years, and we kind of took our lumps over there again. But we did win a game over there, which is the first time that we've done that. And then we had the layoff before last night, and we're looking forward to the rest of our season. We really are.
When you talk about going to St. Anthony, Joe, isn't it amazing year after year the quality of those teams over there? It's just amazing.
Yes, I mean, it is.
So you got St. Anthony and T-Town right there. You could drop your hat over them, and they're always competitive.
Yep, and a lot of teams over there are from the Apollo Conference, which is predominantly a 3A conference, so we play a lot of bigger schools as well. And it's just a different speed, and it's just a different game playing those bigger schools.
Well, and you play schools you wouldn't see otherwise.
Yes.
And the difference between games around here and games in that St. Anthony tournament, Joe, you're playing basketball below the rim here, and you're playing basketball at the rim, or maybe even above the rim over there.
Yes.
It's different. It's just the speed and everything else.
And in the long haul, I think it's going to make us a better team. It might not do anything for our record, but in the long haul, it's going to make us better.
And I know Coach Deacon is the same way with the girls' schedule. You know, you don't mind playing those tough teams during the regular season because your goal at the end of the year is to be playing your best basketball.
Exactly. You got to get out and play people. And if it takes some wins off your end-of-season record, it doesn't matter if you're a better team at the end of the year.
Talking with Joe Vanzo, the Hilltopper head coach, good enough to join us out here at Cranny Mac. Of course, everyone knows about Matt DeLuca, outstanding ball player, one of the best ball players in the conference. But I thought last night you had a kid, a senior, come off the bench, John Walsh, for you. He knocked down some big shots for you in that ball game.
No, Walsh gave us great minutes last night. And the thing about Walsh is his minutes haven't been – they haven't been as high as they are because him and Matt play the same position. But I'll tell you what, John can score. I mean, he can knock down jump shots from 15 feet, and he's got good post moves inside, and he really gave us a lift last night.
And when you can have that productivity off the bench, that's just a nice thing for a coach to have.
Absolutely.
And to have a kid hit a 15-foot jump shot, that's kind of a lost art anymore. Yes. I mean, it's either a three or a post-up.
Exactly. Nope, he's got a good mid-range shot. He really does.
Where do you see your team going from here? Obviously, a very tough test tonight in the Paint of Panthers.
Yeah, I'm not looking too far ahead. We've got a big challenge for us tonight, and really, this was something that we struggled with last year, is playing two games in a row. Mm-hmm. And Paint is a very good basketball team, and they create a lot of matchup issues for us with McMillan and Byers, and they're a senior-laden team that they play extremely hard. But we're going to be okay tonight. I really feel like that. Our kids are going to come out and compete, and we're going to be right there.
Ralph, doesn't it seem like there's always a senior named McMillan and Byers on that team?
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah, there's been Byers. I guess they're into great-grandkids for now, because there was Byers when I was in school, and the amazing part about it is, Joe, they're all good athletes.
Yes, they are. And I think there's more coming, too.
Well, I'm sure there is.
You know, Joe, we talked about how the South Central Conference at football, there's an awful lot of parity there. But when you take it to the basketball season, I mean, you got to say the same thing about the South Central Conference in basketball. You've got a lot of good teams that are going to bang against each other, and maybe the records won't be perfect, but, you know, you've played some good competition.
Yeah. There's never an off night. Yeah. I mean, Greenville plays hard. They're a good, solid team. Litchfield last night, the way Valentine and Hull play, they can beat anybody. I was really impressed with the Valentine kid. I mean, he can score with either hand, go either way in the post. He's got a really nice touch. And the way the Hull kid shot the ball last night, I mean, they're a tough out as well.
Joe, talk about the rivalry and just having a big crowd and a noisy gymnasium and what it means to basketball players, to coaches, and just the general attitude toward the game.
It's neat to be there whenever the stands are full like they were last night. Our kids really get up for Litchfield, and they do the same. I mean, to me, it's just another game, but to the players...
You being a Hillsborough graduate, is it really just another game? Be honest now.
It really is. Okay. I mean, to me, it's a Tuesday or Friday night where we want to come out and compete and play as hard as we can and hopefully be there in the end.
And it's nice to see the buzz back for Topper basketball. I mean, I think it was a 50-50 crowd split last night, and your home attendance seems to be way up this year.
Yeah, and we haven't played at home for a while, too, which I think is big for tonight. We haven't played at home for almost a month.
Wow.
So we've had three home games, and the crowds have been good, and that's been nice.
Of course, that bodes well for the rest of the season, because you'll have a lot of home games down the stretch.
That's right. We got some coming. So.
And when you look at Litchfield, you have to stop and consider the fact that Litchfield has come a long ways and put together a pretty good team, but they had a lot to learn because they got a new coach.
Yes, and I really like Coach Logan. I think he's doing a great job. Really just was impressed with how Litchfield played last night. I mean, I give them all the credit. Last night they were the better basketball team. I thought they deserved to win.
And it was just a great night of basketball. The JV game also went down to the wire as that gym started to fill up for the varsity game. The JV kids got to play in front of a packed house there at the end of the game.
Yeah, me and my assistant were talking on the way home on the bus ride. That was the best JV game that we've played this year. And in the JV game and the varsity game, we had a shot in the final seconds to win the game. And just unfortunately, neither of them went in.
How's the JV team doing this year, Joe?
Better. We've got a really small junior class, so our sophomore class right now is really, they've had to play 2 years of JV basketball, and they were just kind of thrown into that because of our numbers were down in that class, but they've handled it really well. We're really lucky to have the sophomore class that we do, because they're great kids and they work extremely hard, and they're going to be okay because of that.
Well, and last night, I don't know the kid's name, pardon me, but one of your kids bounced his face right off the stage in the JV game.
Yep, that was Jaron Young. Ooh. Jaron is 100 miles an hour, everything he does. But he bounced right back, and he was ready to go in the second half.
Joe, they often say basketball players are made in the summer and not in the winter. And your kids worked hard this summer, didn't they?
We had a great summer. I've got six seniors who have played since they were freshmen. I've been lucky enough to coach them since they were freshmen. I had them at the freshman level. I had them JV when they were sophomores. And then, obviously, the last 2 years, we played 32 basketball games this summer. We went to U of I, we went to over to Vandalia, we went to Jacksonville, we played at Greenville College. The attendance was great, and I really think that helped us going forward. So,
talking with Joe Vanzo, the head coach of the Hilltoppers, and we've talked about Greenville before, about the continuity they have with their coaching staff from sport to sport. Hillsborough kind of has the same sort of deal from football to basketball. It just kind of helps the kids settle down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and I've coached freshman football for 3 years, and I really think that with me being in the basketball program, that helped getting those freshman kids, you know, a nice transition into basketball. So I really think you got something there. I think that it definitely helps.
Yeah, when you have coaching changes and personnel changes, it's just a disruption because everybody has their own take on things. And if you can be consistent and everybody knows going in what the expectations are, it just makes everything a little bit smoother.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And nothing can be better than on a Friday night or a Tuesday night or whenever for you as a coach and your kids as players to walk into a gym and see the bleachers full of people. That's, you know, when they go in there and there's nobody there to watch them, it has to be a downer.
It's a little different than when you're playing in a Christmas tournament at 10 a.m. and there's 25 people in the stands and you can hear every single thing I say in the gym.
Yeah, that's always a bit awkward, isn't it? Like when you're in a huddle and you know that everybody, maybe even the opponent, you know, the other team, maybe their coach can hear what you're saying. It's got to be odd.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that 9 a.m. game in a holiday tournament is not a nice time to play basketball.
And I guess, Joe, if you're going to lose a tough game like that last night, at least the bus ride home was short.
Yeah, it's a good trip to Litchfield. That's why we always talk about we're in the Litchfield tournament, and we're never going to get out of that thing just because it's such a great trip.
Well, and speaking of the Litchfield tournament this year, you've got just the quality of the tournament this year. Marquette's number one, but when you have Nokomis, Hillsborough, Litchfield, all quality teams in the bottom four, I mean, this tournament's loaded.
Yeah, there's a ton of parity. Columbia, who I thought really was definitely probably the third seed, they're 7-7. They played a very tough schedule, and Greenville's fifth, and we lost by 3 points at Greenville just a couple of weeks ago.
And that was the game you had the lead at the half in that game, correct?
Yes, yep, and we had a shot at the end, just like last night.
So when you start, you know, what your record is now
5-7.
5-7, but a shot last night to win it, a shot at Greenville to win it. So sometimes, even though, you know, 20 years from now, people will look at the record and say Hillsborough was X and X, but the record can really be deceiving. Luck goes your way, you just flip that thing around.
Right, and a lot of it, too, is who you play, but the record is what it is. I mean, we're 5-7, and we're, you know, our goal tonight is to come out and compete best we can, and hopefully we'll be there in the end.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, we thank you for a few minutes of your time. Thanks for coming out to Kearney Mac.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
At least we didn't have to send out a hunting dog to find it. You know, that's always a concern.
I found it just fine.
Joe Vanzo, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, good enough to give us a few minutes of his time here on Sports Saturday. They will host the Paint a Panthers later on tonight. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back to Kearney Mac following these messages.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, eat light and healthy with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. For a quick lunch or snack, try farmer-owned Prairie Farms yogurt flavored with fruit or low-fat cottage cheese topped with fresh fruit. And don't forget that 100% pure farmer-owned Prairie Farms orange juice is good all day long. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
It's 40 degrees outside. Let's head back out to the Don Cranfield Hunting Reserve. Sports Saturday is broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you so much. And If you're going to draw up a day of weather, I guess this would be it.
Dennis McCammick, I bet you looked at this weather forecast a week ago and said, is this going to really happen?
I couldn't believe it. It just pays to have clean living. That's all I can tell.
Yeah.
Do we need to put the boots on now, Denny? Is that the deal?
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm just excited to be here. I cannot hardly believe it. This is the ninth year that we're remembering Donnie Burton. Who knew? When we started this years ago, 9 years ago, 34 hunters, and last year we had 156. I'm not sure where the count is now, but Don probably talked about how much money's went to the local schools here, and it's just outstanding.
He said approaching or over 50,000 now?
50,000 will be after this day. And you look back at what the weather was a year ago.
Oh, boy, it was cold. We had ice out here. Our good friend from Hirsch and O'Shea, Tom Baker, fell on the ice. I was worried about him. But this year, it is perfect. You don't need gloves. You get to go hunting out there and harvest some quail. I'm only going to put out about 1,500 quail today and tomorrow. So let me clarify that in the 2 days have the 1,500. But Montgomery County is going to be looking good in the surrounding areas for quail. Because I don't know, they're flying like F-14s out there, and the percentages are down, I'm telling you.
Do they act any different in this warmer weather opposed to if it's bitter cold?
Not so necessarily the warmer weather. The wind, when the wind kicks up, they want to kind of come out low and get into that wind. And once they're into that wind, you better be a good shot. They're tough to hit.
They are a jet. And
Jenny, talk a little bit about the involvement of the younger hunters and how that plays an important part to our style of life around here in rural America.
It is. I grew up in a hunting environment with Jerry Stewart and the Stewart family, Jack and Rich and everybody. We hunted every day. If you would have told me 25 years ago that I would have took over for Don Cranfield, I'd have said you're out of your mind. There's nobody going to pay you to hunt birds. But the wild quail hunters will tell you, when the fence rows was gone and all of that, it's tough out there. And I get more and more people every year since Don passed away coming out with their dogs, and they just want me to set out some quail so they can watch their dogs work. I never would have believed it 20 years ago, but that's where we're going.
And you say set out quail. Talk about the process of setting out quail.
Yeah.
You know, what's involved with getting the quail, setting them out, and all that?
Yeah, what we do is I contract about 6,500 quail a year. And I'll have guys call me up and say, hey, Dennis, I got a couple dogs, and I want 10 quail. You set out in one of your fields for me. I'll be out there at noon. And so when they come, we'll set them out. They'll take their dogs out there, and they'll hunt for a couple hours. And most people that's hunting birds, they really, it's the dogs. They like to watch the dogs work and see the involvement. And the look in them dogs' eyes, they are out there because they want to be there. And it's an amazing process. I have grandfathers that can't do this anymore, but they'll just ride along in the Kawasaki Mule just to watch the kids, the grandkids, and the dogs. So what a great deal.
And every dog is different, but on average, how long does it take to get a dog up to speed and trained properly?
Oh, I would guess on average, we like to have them about a year to a year and a half old. I actually took a 9-month-old puppy on a paid hunt yesterday afternoon, and we just had a ball. Actually got into a pheasant yesterday with her. She beat the big dogs to the pheasant, and you ought to seen her. She kind of stood up, you know, all proud, and then she brought it in at 9 months old. But normally we like to have them about a year and a half before we take them out there on a paid hunt. And
you know, I'll share a story with you on the Stewart boys. Jack told me one time that when he started hunting, he wanted to save a little money, so he talked his brother Stewie into playing the part of the dog. Mm-hmm. I said, how'd that work? He said, didn't work. He said, I never did get him trained.
Well, you know, you're talking about Rich as the part of the dog, and people's been trying to train Rich Stewart for years, and it's almost unbelievable. So you just can't train Rich. He is who he is. But he's still acting as the dog for Jason today.
Is he?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Denny, well, we got you here. How's Casey doing these days?
Casey's fine. She should be out here pretty soon. And
senior this year in college?
Senior this year.
Oh,
this is her last hoorah. We're getting ready to go to San Diego. They got a big golf event out there in February. And then after that, I don't know what she's going to do, but I told her she needed to live with Terry or Uncle Ralph or somebody. She's done at home after college is over. So.
Yeah.
They're with the weather in San Diego. They're going to be hard-pressed to beat the weather we're having here right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, we had a great turnout yesterday. We had, I believe, around 26 people yesterday. They could have been fishing. They could have been golfing. They could have been doing a lot of things. But back to our community, they was here supporting our local school systems and the kids for these scholarships. And the neat thing about these scholarships, sometimes when you give out scholarships, you do not have the opportunity to see it really work. Mm-hmm. But you can go out there right now to the barn, and there's four or five of them guys that got them scholarships, and they come back here to help with this event because they reaped, you know, some of the benefits of it. So,
and that's how you have an event like this for the long haul, when the people who were young all of a sudden, you know, they're 25, right. 35, 45, right. and they're staying
right.
involved.
Right. And, you know, the neat thing, they're not only helping, but one of them owns a Kawasaki mule and brought it in for us to use over the weekend. So, you know, it just keeps coming. So, you know, the old deal about what comes around goes around is true.
The absolutely. Spirit of volunteerism is alive and well,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this last year, but it takes 50 volunteers to put this on. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
How many hunters do we have today?
Today, you know, I'm guessing that we are going to have about 60 or 70 hunters today. I ordered 750 birds for today, and I got 800 coming tomorrow. So that's where we're at. But you know what? We're getting ready to have a 10th anniversary next year.
Now, Don wouldn't elaborate. He says he's got something special planned for next year, and we don't want to spoil
it. He was very coy.
I don't want to get in the middle of this, but I'm thinking it's something like Oprah. I'm thinking maybe Don and John and Sally's going to give a car or something away to every participant that comes in, to include WSMI.
Yeah.
That's just rumor.
Sounds good to me.
That's just rumor.
We'll get our mobile studio back.
Hey, we just heard it on the radio, so it has to be true.
It has to be true.
Absolutely.
It's on WSMI.
Absolutely.
Just think, guys, we wouldn't have to ride to the radio station on our bicycles on Saturday morning.
No. And, you know, every day when we go out and start that new car, we'll think of Don and Sally and Burton.
Especially Sally.
And most of all, you know, Donnie, who we lost, you know, 10 years ago, So.
And you know, and Don was trying to explain how something so tragic, you just never get over. But this helps bit by bit by bit, doesn't it?
It does. But I'll tell you what, you know, I got to be careful when I talk about it. Yesterday out there with the guys, you know, tears come to our eyes as we're remembering things that's going on. It never goes away, but it does help remember. And, you know, to think, you mentioned over $50,000 in scholarships. What a deal, you know. And I know I had the opportunity to sit on that board last year. And I don't know how I get on all these boards, but I sat on that board
Denny,
last year.
Denny, saying no. But you can't do that. You just don't do that, my friend.
And, you know, I knew Donnie when he was growing up, and I knew that he was that CB student. He loved to hunt, and when I looked at them applications, I got to tell you, that's what I was looking for. You know, them A students, great for them, but they got scholarships coming. And I know Bill's got a grandson that received one, and he was a straight A student. But I was looking for them students with C's and B's that liked outdoor activities. I mean, that was where my marks went.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Denny, you do a great job.
Thank you.
The place is up and running and doing well, and it's a great tribute not only to today to Donnie Burton, but to Don Cranville and the legacy he has left. And keep up the good work. It's
thank
always
you.
Good to
appreciate
see
you coming. I hope you can come back next year.
We will be here next year.
Here.
All right.
Absolutely,
thank you.
Will. Dennis McCamick joining us here at Cranny Mac. That's the Mac part of Cranny Mac.
Yes, absolutely. A beautiful day out here. No doubt about it. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. A check of radar weather coming up. We're back to Cranny Mac following these messages.
Online Bill Pay is here. Now you can pay your bills online safely, efficiently, from one location, securitynb.com. Hi, this is Dan Fleming, president of Security National Bank. securitynb.com provides you with the convenience of receiving, viewing, and managing your bills all from one location, securitynb.com. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securitynb.com. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:43, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies and cooler for today. Expect the high in the upper 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. We'll have lows in the low 30s. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies continuing on. Expect a high of around 45 degrees. Extended look at the forecast. Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. There is a slight chance for some rain on Wednesday. We'll have highs in the mid-40s, lows will be in the mid-30s. Right now at 9:42, we have a temperature reading of 40 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:43, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinot, thank you so much. We are out here at Cranny Mac for the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt, and the hits just keep on coming.
That's right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Can we address you as Mr. Mayor still, Bill Barron?
You can if you want to. It might hurt you, but he's exalted.
He's exalted or exhausted?
Both. Oh, okay. Both.
Well, Bill, good to see you out here. You're working the desk out here and signing
right,
people up. And
right.
What do you think about this whole thing?
Well, I've been in on it from the start. Mm-hmm. I was, in fact, on the mule when Don Cranfield suggested this. And now I'm not talking a real mule, four-legged.
Right,
I'm
right.
Talking about four wheels, not four legs.
Okay.
But anyway, the thing has been a great idea. It's just come across beautifully. Don and Sally have worked so hard, and the volunteers, young people out here, just give it their time unendingly. It's great. And before I get off here, I need to tell you one thing. We have started a new organization out here.
Uh-oh.
It's called the LBBS. A lot of Burton BS. We have Burton brothers here, and believe me, I can handle one at a time, but they both get here, I've had it.
It's too much?
Too much. But I'm going to get off here, and I'm going to get Don's brother
on. Are you saying it's Burton Overload? Is that what you're saying there?
Burton Overload is the understatement.
Okay.
We had to go to hip boots rather than knee boots.
Mr. Bill Barron, thank you, sir.
I'm glad to be here with you guys.
You can pass that microphone to this gentleman right over here.
I'll do that.
All righty. All right. We're broadcasting from Cranny Mac this morning on Sports Saturday. And John Burton. Hi, John.
Hi. Nice to be with you.
Well, you're the one that gave us a little heads up on the information concerning the dentist and the haircut.
Well, that's true.
About Don. So from your perspective, as Don's brother, as you look at this endeavor, give us your feelings, your perspective of things.
Well, it's really bigger than I think anybody ever thought it would be. I mean, you know, D was a great kid, and, you know, 9 years later, you sit there and you think about what a fine, you know, 25-year-old he would make. You know, it was just a loss that rocked our family, and, you know, you got to go really back to Don Cranfield and his thought and his idea about a way to memorialize D with something that D loved to do. And there really wasn't anything he loved. He loved to fish, but what he really loved to do was come out here and shoot quail. And, you know, I've missed two. I missed the first one because, well, they planned it, as you probably know by now, in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I live 5 hours away, so it's pretty hard for me to drop what I was doing and get here for the first one. And unfortunately, last year, my father-in-law, actually a year ago Christmas, coded and was in very bad shape in the hospital. I'm glad he's still with us, but I couldn't make it last year. But it's just something that, you know, when you think, I work in higher education in Indiana, and when you think about scholarships and kids, and any help you can give them is great. When you can do it in the memory of such a fine young man, there's just not anything better, you know.
And, you know, when we talk about this out here, I don't think we can say enough about the gentleman you just mentioned, Don Cranfield, because Don had the facility here, just tailor-made. You hunt here, and you've been around this course, and I've rode around here with Don before he passed away, and I don't know how you could tailor-make something that was any better.
No. This is the ideal operation. I mean, what can you really say? I mean, and you got to give Dennis credit. He's carried on the tradition, and he does a great job.
Yeah.
But Cranfield was a personality.
Yeah.
And no matter how good anybody ever does anywhere in this world, there's only one Don Cranfield.
And I always,
if you shot with him, you know what I'm talking about.
I always said, as a dog trainer, if I had a dog, I'd want him to train it, but I wouldn't want to watch him while he was training it.
That's probably right. You know, I was out several times. I was out with Don Granville, and he gave my brother the what for something he had done or not pulling up quite quick enough, and he did the same to me, and he didn't care who you were. He was out there. He was out there to help people become the best possible hunters they could be, and you got to love him for that.
I heard him call a governor one time a once-a-year hunter.
Well, several years ago, there was a – I'm not going to mention names, but there was a celebrity of some sorts out here, and his gun fell apart in the field. Don Granville
came
in.
Don took him to task.
And I'm going to tell you what, I don't know that a guy will ever come back. Because Don let him know real quick that you don't come out here and pay to hunt quail if your gun's broke and it's falling apart out on the field. I mean, you know, and Don was like, I can't believe somebody even bring that out here, you know. But he was a character.
How long of a hunt do you get when you come out here?
It's usually about 2 hours. It's interesting because, you know, when you come out by yourself, Don always, when I was out here, Don always would have a couple extra dogs, and he'd do what they call a cleanup, and he'd just turn all four or five dogs loose, and you'd get in the buggy with him, and you'd ride around, and if there was any quail left anywhere in that field you were hunting, them dogs would find it. But, you know, in something like this, you really can't do that, because you've got to run about a two-hour hunt, then you've got to let them guys get a chance to get off, the birds get planted. But I'll tell you what, it's about the most fun-filled 2 hours you can have for a little of nothing for money, you know. And I'm like a lot of people, you know, I grew up bird hunting, enjoyed it, loved it, and Don let me know what was going on over here, and my first thought was, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you're going to pay to put birds out. I mean, well, you got to be joking, you know.
Well, John,
the way we grew up.
People pay to exercise
well,
now.
I know that. Sure. I know that.
Because we don't get enough exercise doing our jobs. So.
I know it, yeah. And I'm guilty of that too. Yeah. And so the first time I come over here, I was just hooked in one day. I mean, you know, my brother probably said the same thing. You know, you can go out and hunt for 8 hours and shoot once or twice or none, or you can come out here in a couple hours and have a blast and then go home and cook quail.
I think somebody think somebody ought to start raising rabbits and start a rabbit shoot.
That's not a bad idea either.
I just wish they'd come to my house and shoot the darn rabbits.
Well, yeah, they're all in town.
No, they're all over the place in town.
Talk about cooking quail. What's the best way to prepare it?
Oh, fried.
Fry up.
I know that's not probably the healthiest way.
Right.
But, you know,
but it's the right way.
My favorite cookbook is Better Living Through Lard. I may not be the healthiest human being, but if I'm going to eat quail, it's going to be fried and crispy, and it's going to... In fact, I've got to tell you guys this idea I've got, and I know it's going to sound ridiculous.
Well, you're fit right in with us, John. Don't worry.
You guys probably this Thanksgiving heard of the turductory meal.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey. Well, I don't really care much for turkey, and I don't really care much for duck. So I've got this idea of putting a quail inside a chucker, inside a pheasant, inside a chicken.
Huh.
Four things. I don't know if it'll work. But, hey, if somebody out there tries it, let somebody at the radio station know.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, when I get back, I'm going to have some quail, pheasant, and chucker.
Sounds good to me.
All cooked up in one batch, and it's all going to be wrapped in bacon, like the recipe said for that introductory.
Oh, buddy.
We'll see what happens.
Now, that's a meal.
And if I'm alive for the 10th hunt, I'll be here. If I'm still alive, I'll be here.
You talked about not liking turkey. I heard a guy say one time, he said, well, I cook my turkey a little different. He said, I put turkey in the pan, and then I fill the pan about half full of wine. And he said, I put it in the oven and cook it, and then he said, I throw the turkey out to the dogs and drink the gravy.
Well, I'll eat turkey. It's not my favorite, but yeah, that's I may try that one too. That sounds like a pretty good recipe.
John, you said you're from Indiana, mm-hmm. so when you go back to the folks in Indiana and you explain this whole situation, how this comes off, do they kind of look at you like,
well,
really?
You know,
or do they appreciate?
I think they appreciate it. You know, Muncie, the city I live in is what I call a big, small city. I've got family that hunt. You know, I've got some of my wife's family owns some farm ground and stuff. Over there, though, bird hunting's just not a big deal. Everybody deer hunts. That's just what they do. There's really not many pheasants in Indiana like there are over here. And quail aren't that popular. And I think a lot of it has to do is over there they plant fence row to fence row. There's really the conservation programs have kind of expired, and there's just not as much, you know, upland game bird areas to hunt as far as wild birds. There's only one pheasant that I can remember that I've found. There's only one place like this to go out and shoot pheasant, and they don't even stock quail. So I love coming back to Cranny Mac. This is a top notch operation, and Dennis runs a great show. And when Dennis took
this over after Don passed away, he really had to step into some big shoes. I'm sure he didn't quite realize everything he was getting into.
He didn't, and I'll tell you, every time I come over here, I'm even more and more impressed with the way he runs this place. And I give him, I think, the biggest compliment I know to give him, and that's that I don't think things have changed.
Now, again,
you can't replace Don Cranfield's personality, and anybody listening that knew Don is going to agree with that. He was a character, to say the very, very least.
From the day he was born.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, you got to love the guy. But, you know, I'll tell you what, for when you come out here for a shoot for a little bit of extra money, they'll put on a fried quail and biscuits and gravy meal for you when you're done. And Dennis's is just about as good as Don's. I'm not going to argue that. Yeah, he runs a good show out here. Does a great job.
Well, John, thanks for stopping by and talking
with
us. We appreciate it. And nice to meet you, my friend. And it's always good to see you, John Burton.
We'll see you again next year.
We'll see you on the 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary. Can't wait.
That's exciting. That's exciting. We're broadcasting from Cranny Mac this morning, the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Shoot. And, of course, the money raised here will be used for the scholarships for Hillsborough kids. And they've exceeded, believe it or not, the $50,000 mark in their endeavor to raise money for scholarships. That's absolutely amazing. And Ralph, as you pointed out, so many kids need the help.
And you know, sitting here listening to him and listening to Don and the rest of them talk about scholarships and stuff, Terry, we are so fortunate in this area. We have MCCA, which I'm a member of the board, all the money they generate for scholarships and Crime Stoppers.
Yeah.
And all kinds of organizations. I don't want to get into naming and missing some, but all of them, how important all that money is to young people.
And you mentioned organizations raising money. I was part of the MTXE night last night at the Lincolnwood Nokomis game, and each school was awarded $15,000. Mm. That's 30 grand that the MTXE Play Day Committee raised last August at the golf outing and all the various other endeavors that they do to raise money. They awarded 15 grand to each high school last night for their athletic programs, for the cheerleaders, and for the Scholastic Bowl teams. And the seven-year total is now over $118,000 total for both schools. So it's absolutely amazing.
And all this was started by
Maury Huff,
a good friend of yours.
In memory of Mo. You know, the first golf outing was to help Mo pay some medical expenses, and then it went on from there after he passed away. And great kudos to our good friends, Mark Convery, who doesn't even live in the area anymore, but
no.
He and Jan O'Malley kind of tie things together and really do a great job.
And one of the good things I think about what they do with the Donnie Burton Memorial Scholarship is they don't limit it to, say, the straight-A students
right. Or
the valedictorians. They branch it out. You heard him talk about B students, C students, the kids who, if they want to go to college, they're going to need some scholarships to kind of help curb the cost. So that I really like.
Yeah, it's this is such a neat thing to have happen here in response to the tragedy that happened. They can, you know, obviously it's something you're never going to get over, but it helps you deal with it.
You hear the saying, making the best of a bad situation. This would be
That's
a perfect example of that.
And, you know, and Don and Sally were a big part of the Hillsborough District for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
Always very gracious to anything we ever had, any time we talked with them and worked with them. And we're, you know, I'm just glad that we're back out here and able to be part of this. You know, the camaraderie, just look here, the place is full, there is chattering going on, the people are out hunting, it's just a great atmosphere.
Yeah, people are just coming in and out all day long.
Yeah.
In fact, Burton does such a good job, you know, with this hunt and stuff that I guess we can kind of forgive him for being a Cub fan, you know.
Almost.
Well, let's see.
He saw my, I got a Cardinal hat on today, World Championship Cardinal hat, by the way, purchased the game one of the World Series. But he said in my younger days, he's like, I would have had to toss you out for wearing that.
Yeah.
Like, well, I bet it's not the old days.
I had a father come up to me, Terry, talking about the various organizations in this concern, MCCA, which is Montgomery County Cancer. And his daughter was a recipient of a $1,500 scholarship. And he said, Ralph, to put it in plain words, what this meant to my daughter was her having to stay home for a year or two and work so she could afford to go to college, and coming right out of high school and going on to college.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought that's put it pretty well in perspective.
Education is the silver bullet. It really is, but it's a very expensive silver bullet. Yeah. And any help we can give the kids, it's tremendous, and the Burton family here has done what they can do to help out the kids in the area. So we're going to extend our sports program till 10:30 this morning. We never have talked much about basketball. We've got a lot of basketball to talk about here. So, Tobin, we're going to be on till 10:30 this morning here on Sports Saturday, and we want to just, you know, give the Burton family and Cranny Mac our kudos for hosting us here. They fed us this morning. They'll feed us again before we leave, let's face it.
Yeah, that chili is starting to permeate throughout the building here.
Can you smell it? Oh,
I can smell
man.
It. I can't smell much, but that I can smell.
Yeah, that just smells awful good. So a couple reminders for you. First off, we've got Illini basketball coming up early today, 11:30 with the pregame show here on FM 106 as the Illini will battle Nebraska. The newest member of the Big Ten Conference. Still tough to fathom Nebraska being in the Big Ten.
Seems odd, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. But Nebraska and Illinois, tip about 12, pregame 11:30 here on FM 106.
With all the conference expansions that you're seeing, a lot of these don't seem to make sense. You're getting teams from like the West that are moving over to the East. But Nebraska does seem to be a good fit, at least geographically. They're right there, you know, bordering all the other big schools in the conference. So it seems like that should work pretty well.
I thought Missouri would have been a great fit, but, you know, there's too many other
something about Missouri
things,
the Big Ten didn't care for. I don't know what it was, but something they didn't like. But Missouri's going to get a nice test in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find out about your football program now.
They will probably compete well in basketball, but football they're going to probably have some problems for a while.
Could be a long football season next year.
But I think they will compete in basketball immediately.
Yeah,
absolutely. We got CNN Radio News coming up here on WSMI. We will be back here at Cranny Mac following CNN Radio News, and we're going to be talking high school basketball here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Sports Saturday rolls on from Cranny Mac following CNN Radio News.
It's 10:04, 41 degrees outside. Sports Saturday continues on. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobin, thank you so much. We are out here at the Cranny Mac Bird Hunting Preserve for the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. We want to thank everyone who stopped by and gave us their thoughts here this morning. Really some very nice insight.
I think that this is one of the events that's probably going to stick around for a long, long time and benefit a lot of young people in this area.
So. Yeah, I mean, just think the 10-year anniversary will be next year. Think about 10 years out, the dollar amount of money that they will have raised for the local community here.
And I like what Don says, is that the only requirement is that they keep in contact.
Right.
And I think that's such a small caveat so that they're able to keep track of how the kids are progressing. That's wonderful.
And you've heard about the number of past recipients who don't not only just keep in touch about their educational progression, but they come back here to the hunt and become a part of it. And eventually they're going to be some of the leadership and all that. So that's just outstanding.
That is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
And they're into the program. This is the 9th year. Next year will be a 10th. So they're in the program that they've got a lot of young men and women who have went on to college, who have graduated. And they come back and tell their story of what they're doing now, and most of them have went on and been successful in whatever venture they chose to get their education for.
Well, guys, this is the sports show. Let's talk a little bit about high school basketball. Tim, you were at a terrific game last night with Litchfield and Hillsboro. We talked with Hilltopper coach Joe Vanzo earlier, and just your impressions on the ball game. Your game was wrapping up as I was on my way home last night, so I was able to hear the conclusion of your ball game, and wow, what a great finish, and the crowd was just electric, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was probably close to a packed house, about a 50-50 split, just an incredible atmosphere, but the game was just so competitive. It was tight throughout. Sometimes, you know, you'll get a team gets up big and maybe a run comes the other way, but this game, I don't think there was ever a lead bigger than 6 or 8 points. I mean, it was back and forth the entire way, came down to the final seconds where the Toppers had an open look at a 3 to win it, but it was Litchfield tonight, but that was just a classic Litchfield-Hillsborough game last night. Terry, we've had a nice run of games here on the radio, the Carmel Holiday Championship game, then Gillespie comes back from 14 on Staunton on Tuesday, and then last night's game between Hillsborough and Litchfield. So as we've gotten into the new year here, conference play starting to heat up, and I would imagine that we're going to see some wild and woolly affairs moving forward.
Well, certainly the South Central. As we talked when we were talking with Joe, the South Central Conference is in such an interesting conference with really quality teams, and maybe nobody's going to lead the pack undefeated, but there's going to be a lot of quality teams in there. And generally, I think a lot of the basketball around the area, the opinion is that it's not that good. Well, I don't agree with that. I think that there's some decent basketball around the area. We've seen, I think you're seeing a lot of parity with some pretty good teams that just knock heads with each other, and somebody's got to lose ball game.
In some respects, it's like the NFL. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone likes parity until they have parity, and then they try to, you know, make it more like mediocrity. But the South Central, I mean, top to bottom, all these teams are going to be tested when it comes regional time.
Yeah.
And no matter the South Central team, they're going to be a tough out.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Ralph.
I was just going to ask, is what is Pena's record now?
I don't know that. I think Pena has one loss.
I think everybody's got at least one.
Their loss came at that Vandalia tournament.
Yeah. They lost to the championship.
They don't have any in the conference, I don't think.
No, they don't have any conference losses. And, you know, Pena, one of those teams that could go through the conference without a loss. That's entirely possible. But I think the good thing about Pena, though, when you look on down the line, Pena gets to host the boys' regional. But it's going to be a South Central regional because you're going to have Litchfield, Hillsborough, Greenville there again, which is, you know, everybody's going to know everybody. So by that time of the year, who knows what could happen?
And I'm telling you, Hillsborough and Litchfield, those are two good basketball teams. The records, under 500, I don't care. Throw them out. You heard Joe Vance talk about they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now, played some quality competition. Litchfield went through a little bit of a losing streak earlier in the year where they played the top half of the South Central with Vandalia, Pena. Southwestern's got a pretty decent ball club this year. So I think both Litchfield and Hillsborough, you watch them play, the talent is there. Both are well coached. It's just a matter of any given night.
And Tim, I want to throw my kudos in for Carlinville. I think Carlinville boys basketball team has improved tremendously this year. They've matured. They are making better decisions. They're not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm telling you, on a given night, you've got yourself a ball game against Cavaliers.
They competed so well in their holiday tournament. They were in every single ball game. They had a crushing loss there in the third place game in overtime against Staunton, but to me, it's been a long time since Carlinville had that good of a showing in their tournament.
And, you know, Carlinville, I think, started out this year not really knowing, boys or girls-wise, what was going to happen. I think by the end of the year, the Carlinville girls are going to be a fairly decent basketball team. They're so young, they're still learning, but boy, they've got talent. And, you know, we've mentioned this before, as far as athlete per athlete, you're not going to out-athlete Carlinville probably on any given year. They just have a ton of athletes, and that's the case again this year.
No doubt about it. And sometimes I think, you know, when you've got athletes, it's a matter of trying to blend it and get it all to work. So I don't think you can necessarily use the same formula every year when you've got athletes opposed to basketball players, because athletes do good things differently. You know, they do different things good, I should say.
And it's a decision-making process that you're looking for. They may not be the most skilled at everything, but if they make good decisions, generally you're going to be successful. And that's why good athletes are always great to have. If you have a couple of what I call pure basketball players, that's great too, especially at a small school level. But to have good athletes who make good decisions, boy, that is such an important aspect of the game.
And when you when you talk about great athletes, and getting back to Hillsborough and Litchfield, when you talk about kids like Ballantyne and DeLuca, these guys are, you can build something around them.
Well, that was a fun matchup to watch last night too. I mean, those guys, DeLuca was guarding Ballantyne in the second half. Their games are so similar. I mean, it's really kind of scary how similar their games are.
You know, they can step outside and shoot the ball. They can post up inside and
handle it.
They're both pretty good rebounders. They both usually shoot free throws pretty well. That's a kind of a classic matchup of two big guys. And when they, when you throw in the the clash of Hillsborough Litchfield just makes a little more icing on top of the cake, I guess.
Especially around here, you know, small school basketball, it's kind of nice to watch a couple of big guys go at it, because usually you don't get the benefit of seeing a lot of big post players around the area, you know, more guard oriented. But Valentine is 6'4", DeLuca is 6'3", both wide bodies. Just very fun to watch those guys go to work.
So, go ahead, Ralph.
I was just going to say that was what was so much fun about watching Eric Hobby at Van Day.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you talk about a super athlete. He was a gentleman that could do it all, a little bit bigger than Valentine or DeLuca, but what an athlete he was.
He jumped a tad bit better, too.
Yeah, just a little.
yeah, he did. So the Purple Panthers win it last night by 2 over the Hilltoppers. In the other game involving the two county schools, Nokomis scored early, scored often. The Skins pick up a 74-24 win over Lincolnwood last night as Brendan Pisco had 21 points for the Redskins in their sixth win of the year. I think the Skins are now 6-6 on the season.
And Nokomis, once again, you know, they're kind of quiet and under the radar, but as we get into middle January and then, of course, into February, you know they're going to be right where they usually are.
Well, and around here with the four-class system, you know, you have not that many 1A teams. And as you prepare yourself for the postseason, you know, Nokomis is going to play some AA schools. So they're going to be ready for the postseason tournament as well. And to see a typical Steve Kimbrough team come along, you know, been there, done that. We've seen it before. We expect it again.
Absolutely. And, of course, they'll be in the Litchfield tournament
coming
up a week from today. Actually, we're going to get into that a little bit later in Sports Saturday. But when Nokomis has had, you know, their dynamite teams, they win that tournament.
Yeah, they
do. That field is not just good this year. It's good every year.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the Litchfield tournament. We're also going to mention on the Macoupin County tournament as well. But that Litchfield tournament absolutely loaded once again this year. And I've said for years this is probably one of the high-quality in-season tournaments in the state of Illinois because you do have a 1A school in there, but you have a lot of 2As, a few 3As. Yeah. It's a great mix of basketball teams, really from the Metro East up to Route 16 and east there. Marquette's got the number one seed, Paina 2, Columbia 3, and Roxana 4. So.
And from all accounts, Alton Marquette, they are the real deal. They are state quality good this year. I saw them last year in the sectional title game down at Woodover. They played Breeze Central. A younger team last year were the Explorers. They got a little overwhelmed, I think, in that game against Breeze Central a year ago. But talking to Drew Logan last night before the ball game, of course, they just played Alton Marquette. Didn't go well, obviously, 70-30. Marquette's just that good, but Litchfield shot 12%, apparently, so that never helps. Kind of a perfect storm, but according to Drew Logan, he says Alton Marquette's better this year than they were last year. That is scary.
And they're still not all seniors, are they?
I don't think so.
No,
I think they're all primarily juniors.
Yeah, they are loaded, and they're still undefeated on the year, so they have to be the heavy favorite coming into this tournament, even with the depth of the field.
And the neat thing about the Litchfield tournament, and I'm always big on brackets, you know that.
Absolutely.
But the neat thing about Litchfield tournament, they divide them into four pools to start off with, three teams in each pool. So you play a couple of games, and then you go to the bracket play. I think it's a great way to run a tournament to give it a different flavor, certainly at the beginning of the tournament with pool play and then getting into the bracket play.
And I think it's a good way to ensure that you're going to get the top teams in the championship bracket, you know, because if you get upset early, you've still got a chance to recover in pool play and get in that championship bracket, opposed to, you know, if you get upset early, off to the consolation you go. So, and even if you wind up in the consolation bracket in this tournament, you're still looking at quality opponents.
Well, let's look at the bottom four here. Nokomis is 9th, Hillsborough 10th, Litchfield 11th, and East Elmwood River 12th. What?
Yeah,
you got to be kidding me.
Well, you look at that, that's how I always judge the depth of a field. Not so much the top teams, or the depth of a conference. Not so much the top two teams. What are the bottom 2, 3, 4 teams like? And you look, Hillsborough a 10 seed, Nokomis a 9, Litchfield an 11. That's all you need to know. Those are three quality basketball teams right there, and they're the bottom 3 or 4 seats. That's impressive.
So these coaches are probably smiling a little bit that they're where they're at.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. So that tournament starts next Saturday, a week from today, as does the Macoupin County tournament.
We should make note here, the Litchfield tournament, a slight scheduling change this year. Ed Roundcount wanted to make sure that people were aware. Normally, they take Wednesday off following pool play and then begin the bracketed portion on Thursday. This year, apparently, there's going to be some sort of consolidation meeting being held at Litchfield, Ed thought. So they might need the gym. They're expecting a big crowd. So what they've decided to do is begin the consolation bracket tournament that Wednesday. They will take Thursday off for the meeting, and then they're back with their Friday and Saturday schedule. So a slight change for the Invitational this year.
Okay, sounds great. And the 2012 Macoupin County Basketball Tournament has gone strictly to the round-robin pool play now with the seven teams in both the boys' and the girls' division. They've decided to go pool play, much like what the girls did last year, and they have the pool set up for the 1, 4, and 5 seeds are in one pool, the 2, 3, 6, and 7 seeds are in the second pool, and they will have pool play throughout the week. And then how everybody settles out in their particular pool, they'll match everybody up on that final Saturday. So we can tell you that in the girls' pool, North Mac was seeded number 1, Bunker Hill 2, Carlinville 3, Staunton 4, Southwestern 5, Gillespie 6, and Mont Olive 7th. In the boys' side of the seeding, North Mac number 1, I think, which is a good seed, the correct seed, Staunton 2, Southwestern 3, Carlinville 4, Bunker Hill 5, Mont Olive 6, and Gillespie 7. So they'll match up into pools and play it off, and we'll have some coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament at Mont Olive next
week.
You
see North Mac, the one seed in the girls and the boys. I think we all thought when this consolidation took place a year ago that it was really going to benefit the sports programs. You look at what the football team did this year, a deep run into the playoffs. The basketball teams, both boys and girls, have been thriving with the co-op, so the North Mac situation is alive and well.
Oh, absolutely, especially on the athletic level of things. And I think with the coaching staff, certainly for basketball at North Mac, Adrian Range and the girls and T.J. Wilson and the boys, you've got some consistency there. You've got talented coaches. You have some talented athletes, and they know how to get the best out of their athletes. You know, the mark of a good coach, I think, is the ability to scout your athletes, to learn what you can get out of your athletes and put them in positions of success. Not every coach can do that. Let's just be honest with you. Not every coach can do that. The special coaches are the coaches that say, well, I know that, you know, this person I can expect this much out of. Let's put him in that position, expect success there, get success there, and then get him out.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, you got to adapt your system. To me, the perfect example of that would be Mike Martz. He's got that complicated offense. Yeah. It worked great when he had a Hall of Fame quarterback, two Hall of Fame receivers, Hall of Fame running back, Hall of Fame offensive tackle. You see him go to Chicago. You know, good players, not great players. It's different. He was in San Francisco, not really any good players, and it was a disaster. He's never adapted his system to the talent around him. And as a result, he's really struggled since he left the greatest show on turf. And high school basketball or high school football, whatever it is, certainly the same way, especially at the small school level where you get this heavy turnover year to year. Like next year, example, for Hillsborough with Joe Vanzo. No Matt DeLuca.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be – he's going to have to change his philosophy, change the way he goes about things because he doesn't have a 6'3 post player right now who can do everything on the floor. So he'll have to adapt his style, and he will.
Yeah, absolutely.
And getting back to Verdon and Girard, I think the proximity of the two schools and the knowledge that those kids knew each other like the back of their hand helped them to blend together into one unit when they consolidated.
Well, being up there for their playoff game this year when they hosted the Staunton Bulldogs in the second round, that atmosphere was outstanding. People, they were there early. Trucks pulled up on the track.
That's probably the
fabulous.
Neatest thing. Isn't that the thing? They just back up the pickup trucks, and they're sitting in their back of their beds watching this football game there at North Mac, and I'm going, oh, wow, this is – you know, if this isn't Americana, what is?
That's
right?
Exactly right.
It's amazing.
And you look at the Girard football and basketball, but they've had some great athletes feed out of that little school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, through the years.
Also, speaking of tournaments, where the North Green Lady Spartan Classic gets underway today. The Lady Panthers of Litchfield, deservedly so, with the number one seed there. Jackson Marout, number two. They both get a first round bye. So Litchfield will first see action on Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock in the West Gym, and they will play the winner of the matchup between Brussels and Beardstown, an 8-versus-9 matchup. Route will play on Wednesday evening, on Thursday evening, rather, in the West Gym, and they will play, not Wednesday, I guess it's Monday. Monday's the 9th. So Litchfield will play on Monday evening at 6, and then Jacksonville Route will play Tuesday evening at 6, and Route will get the winner of Triopia North Green.
And an opportunity for Litchfield here in this tournament to maybe get away from some of the familiar opponents, get some fresh blood in there, so to speak. And if they make it to the championship game, they're going to face a quality opponent that they just might run into in the postseason.
Well, you got Jacksonville Route and Waverly, two teams that you will probably see in the postseason somewhere along the way. Both teams are extremely well-coached. great athletes, and you have to put them right in the same category with Litchfield.
That'll be a good test for the Panthers.
Yeah. And then you roll on to the next week at the prestigious girls' tournament at Highland.
Yeah, the Highland tournament.
The little state tournament, as they call it.
That's right. That starts on the 14th as well. And I see Nokomis, Hillsboro, and Greenville, I think, all in there at the Highland tournament this year. And we'll get the pairings here a little bit later on. The 34th annual Mohawk Classic in Morrisonville will be held this next week. It's a strictly a round robin tournament. They've lost a lot of teams out of this thing. Quite frankly, I don't know the survivability of this tournament in the future. A lot of these teams play each other, so there's really no advantage to playing in a tournament where you see the same teams necessarily, but it's some ball games, put it that way. Morrisonville, Lincolnwood, South Fork, Edinburgh, and Nokomis are the teams in the tournament. They'll play round robin all the way from Monday through Thursday, night off on Friday, and then Saturday evening, the 14th, will be the championship matchup, and we'll have all the games for you on Spotlight on Sports at 7:30 every morning. So,
and it would never happen. This literally just came into my head. Maybe I shouldn't even say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Okay.
Why not? In the Macoupin County Tournament, I mean, it's historical, second oldest county tournament in the state.
Uh-huh.
But with consolidation looming, we've already seen Gerard Burden go in to North Mac. Let's be frank, it's just a matter of time before there's not enough schools in Macoupin County to field the tournament. What about merging the Macoupin County Tournament with the Mohawk Classic?
Well,
making almost a super tournament. That way you kind of get that mix, kind of merge them together and get schools you don't normally see.
Funny you should ask that, Tim. Let's pose that question to a man who knows a little bit about the Mohawk tournament, Mr. Wayne Rosenthal, our state representative. Hey, Wayne, how are you, buddy?
Glad to meet you, Terry.
Good to
again.
See you. Yeah, see good you. To see you again, my friend. And we've been talking about, consolidations possible in the future and county tournament at Macoupin County down to seven teams in both divisions, and the Mohawk tournament down in the number of teams. Maybe a merger of some sort could take place.
Well, as we get less and less schools, there's just less schools available to participate in any of those tournaments.
Yeah, so. And the Mohawk Classic now in its 34th year. I mean, this is probably the fewest number of schools that I can remember ever.
What's coming this year?
I think it's five schools, and it's strictly a round-robin affair. So, and a lot of times these schools see each other already in conference play.
Sure. That's who it is. It's the same size school, so they're there all the time.
Yeah.
Consolidation is starting to become a bit of a hot topic. What type of momentum does that have in the state legislature? Does it have momentum?
I think it's one of those things that we continue to look at, the argument is whether it provides, you save any money, which that's debatable whether you do, whether you provide educational opportunities for kids. And that's the biggest thing is if we provide the educational opportunities. But as everybody knows down south here, it becomes a transportation and distance problem. So those are all things that have to be considered, and it's an ongoing process.
And Wayne, just from my standpoint, don't you think – I think it would be better for schools to get together themselves and say – let's go ahead on our own and decide what we think is best for our kids.
Yeah,
and let's not have somebody out from the outside looking in at us and saying, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that when you got the local schools involved in making the decisions for the people of the district in the area, that's a lot better than somebody coming in and dictating what you have to do.
Yeah, there's so many other factors if you have an outside entity kind of taking the things over and not really understanding the travel, the distance thing. I think travel is going to be something, probably one of the main things we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, because right now we're looking at Panhandle, Lincolnwood, Nokomis, and Morrisonville. And if you look at the far distances from Lincolnwood to the far south part of Nokomis, that is a great, great distance.
That's a long way.
So, those are things that all have to be considered and looked at. So it's not no easy answers.
No.
A lot of counties have went to a one county high school.
Yeah, it depends on where you're at. And of course the biggest thing we fight in the legislature is the people in Chicago. They said, well, just have parents take their kids. Well, they got to go 2 or 3 or 4 miles, and that's no big deal. But when you have to drive 30 or 40 miles both ways, that's a big deal.
And that's an interesting dynamic, though, I would imagine, in the legislature is Chicago is such a different world than basically the rest of the state. So how hard is it to kind of try to merge ideas?
See, and that's what has to happen is I end up being the ambassador to explain the differences between what we have and what they have. Because if you eliminated all the transportation for them, they just use public transportation.
Right.
They don't need buses. We don't have that opportunity, and that's not an option for us.
Yeah.
And
two different animals.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I actually heard that
someone, I think it was in the legislature, was wanting to make Chicago their own state. Is that true?
That's been around for a long time, though.
Yeah. Well, I think Adam Brown and Bill Mitchell actually introduced that. But that, you know, that all talks sounds good. But the bottom line is we need to learn to work together to solve our problems.
Yes. Yeah, that's the bottom line.
And that's a difficult issue to approach or accomplish. But what I was going to say is a few years ago we were in Alaska and I was talking to some people up there and they said their kids had a 50-mile one-way bus trip every day.
Sure. Well, I know, like, kids that live in Prairie Town, they're in the Edwardsville School District, and they are, you know, getting on the bus maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, getting off the bus maybe 6 o'clock at night. That just makes for a long day.
Very long day.
That's
for kids,
especially. It's long for adults working, you
know.
It's a really long day for kids. Absolutely.
State Representative Wayne Rosenthal joining us here out at Cranny Mac. I mean, I'm just curious, you've been up there now in Springfield for a while. Is there anything maybe that you didn't realize that was going on up there that you get up there and like, whoa?
Well, probably one of the things is that there's a lot of ways to kill a bill.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways to re-resurrect it. And so that's probably the biggest thing. Because we've killed bills in committee, and then they show up on the floor, and they say, well, how did that happen? And they says, oh, they just moved it to a different committee and passed it out of committee that way. So, and then one of the big issues we had this year is that all the pro-life type things were allowed to go through the Ag Committee that I sit on. And on the Ag Committee, 13 out of the 15 members are pro-life people. They're from downstate, rural agricultural type individuals. And so he says, why are they going there? And he says, well, they'll get out of committee that way. And I think they had a protest, women aren't livestock or something, you know, against us. But, you know, those are the kind of things that you run into.
Scratch your head out.
Well, now that you're a politician, do you find you have to take more showers?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't know. I know that it's there's sometimes pretty long days.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's all part of it. The thing that I have found for sure is that my experience and background, having spent 30 years in the military in leadership positions, is that you still have to identify problems and then figure out how you're going to solve them and then work with people. And that's the key, is that you got to be able to work on both sides of the aisle, all the way across to the Senate. And that's the answer, is that you have to work together to come to mutual solutions and agreements. So that's where we're at.
And in spite of the fact there's been a lot of frustration at all levels of government, doesn't make any difference.
Sure.
Gosh, it's still the best method in the world.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well, and see, that's the other advantage I've had, is I've traveled all over Europe and got to see all that. And there's no place that I'd rather live than right here in the United States, and especially here in central Illinois Midwest, where, you know, we got the rural work ethic and people are, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to go to work. Our job is how are we going to produce and find the jobs to put them to work?
Yeah.
So,
well, State Representative Wayne Rosenthal, we thank you for stopping by. And just quickly, your thoughts, when you see an event like this, this is what small communities are all about.
And that's what I've always said, is that any small community, anytime they have a necessity for a benefit, they have one. Doesn't matter who puts it on, but they all come to support their local people.
Yep. We're out of time.
That's it.
Wayne Rosenthal, thank you so much.
You.
Always a pleasure to
appreciate
see you. Uncle Ralph, thank you. Tim, great to have you guys out here on Sports Saturday. We want to thank Cranny Mac and Don Burton and Dennis McCamick and all the folks here. We had a great time this morning on Sports Saturday. Don't forget the Illini, 11:30 this morning on FM 106 as the Illini take on the Cornhuskers of Nebraska here on WSMI FM 106.1. Big thanks to Tobin Ott for producing our broadcast today. That's it from Cranny Mac here on Sports Saturday.